Jay, good morning. Always appreciate the time.
It's always fun to be here.
Jay, let's start with this Korean Airlines plane crash investigation. A blow there as the black box experienced a loss of power, it sounds like.
Which is incredibly rare. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened here. We've got to find out. But the black boxes, the two of them, the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder that you and I talked about last mm-hmm. week, both have been recovered. They were being analyzed, and they were providing data until the last 4 minutes of the flight. And they go silent. Now I believe the black boxes have independent power as far as battery operated, so that doesn't make sense to me there. But really, the only way that I know of that you can have a complete power loss to those two components is if a circuit breaker is pulled.
Hmm.
Now, I don't think anybody would have deliberately done that, but I don't know. Now, again, because the crew was lost along with all the passengers, and only two crew members survived, you don't have anybody from the flight deck to interview. So you've got to come out and try to determine what happened based on a lot of other information absent those black boxes. And I tell you, that cockpit voice recorder was going to be huge because that's where we could hear the alarms, the conversations, everything that was going on the flight deck. And now that we can't understand what was going on, it's going to make the challenge for the investigators that much more difficult. And I tell you, it is just, it's perplexing, confusing, and sad, because, you know, the best way for us to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again is to learn from what took place. Obviously, we're going to get rid of the concrete walls at the end of runways. Amen to that. But the other stuff, I mean, if it was a Boeing component issue, of course, we've got to find that out. We've got to find out exactly what caused that. If it's crew error, well, then there's pilot training that has to be addressed with that airline, and we've got to learn that as well. And absent that information, it's going to make it very, very difficult for the investigation to come up with, I think, conclusive ideas of exactly what happened in the sequence of events.
And really tough for the families, too, not to be able to get any closure for what happened.
That's an excellent point. You're exactly right.
To other news now, Delta Airlines announced record revenue and also big-time profit sharing for their employees.
They just blew it out of they're just blowing it out of the water right now. Nobody's doing it better in the United States. Delta reported $5.2 billion in pre-tax income. That's about 50% of the entire industry's profitability. Now, here's the thing that I looked at and I thought, wow, Delta's had four out of their top 10 revenue days since the election. Now, I don't know what Donald Trump's election has to do with Delta Airlines, but they've had four of their top revenue days since. And, of course, they were named the most on-time airline and a bunch of other things. But, yeah, Valentine's Day is when they give their employees profit sharing, if they've made a profit. Delta has announced they're giving their employees on Valentine's Day $1.4 billion
wow.
in profit sharing. Now, the last time they had something this big was just before the pandemic. I think it was $1.6 billion then. And if I'm not mistaken, it was almost 20% of their salary. Now, imagine going to work on Valentine's Day and getting a thank you from your boss that's one-fifth of your annual salary. So if you happen to be flying on Valentine's Day next month, and you notice on Delta, most of the employees just seem to be in a pretty good mood, that's probably the reason. You might tell them congratulations, because I think you might even get a free drink on a flight. I don't know, because I think everybody's going to be in a happy mood that day.
Extra bag of peanuts for everybody, for sure.
Well, yeah, I don't go that far. We are talking about the airlines, remember? So
fair enough. This was not on our original list, but Harrison and
I had
this story last week. There were some stowaways that were found dead inside a landing gear of a JetBlue flight in Florida. Did you see that story last week?
We did. And initially we thought, oh, my gosh, how do these people gain access to an aircraft in JFK, where they have a $100 million security system with motion sensors and closed circuit cameras and all? So we're going crazy like this. And it turns to, when they found the bodies, when the flight landed at JFK to Fort Lauderdale, they were decomposed to such an extent they figured that they were on there for a day or two.
Mm.
So apparently these two individuals may have stowed away in Jamaica, in Kingston, Jamaica, at the airport then, trying to stow away to the United States and died during flight, which is what 78% of the people that try to stow away in a wheel well that's unpressurized, it was limited space, that's exactly what happens. So the thought is that, yeah, they didn't gain access at JFK. They may have done it in another airport like Kingston, Jamaica or something. But, you know, it, wherever it happens, it underscores the fact that you have a limited airport security, because what if they weren't stowaways?
Yeah.
What if they were terrorists with a time bomb? I mean, then they're successful in bringing down an aircraft. And that's why, to me, anytime we have these types of things, and we happened, at, what, 2 weeks ago out of Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, that very small airport there, O'Hare, where somebody accessed a wheel well at that airport and flew to Hawaii and died en route there. So, you know, the, it's sad for the loss of life, absolutely. But it's also a huge concern for me, because from a security standpoint, we're allowing people to get that close to the airplane. That can't happen, and we've got to do more to prevent it.
What are our hub delays today?
You know, obviously we're fighting issues in California where they got some aircraft that are being rerouted. In fact, we had a stupid drone hit one of those super scoopers that dropped water, so that took it out of service for a while. But really, from a weather standpoint today, Central Florida is going to be the only issue, and it's not going to be until later in the day. Right now, some minor de-icing delays morning in the that are taking place now across the Midwest. But from a severe weather standpoint, Central Florida, and I don't think we're going to have that until later today. There's a lot of rain south of us, but it's south of Atlanta, so we're catching a break there, and that certainly is going to help to make today a pretty good travel day.
Jay, as I let you go, where can our listeners contact you if they've got an issue with their airline?
JRatliff.com is my website. I teach people how to trade stocks, but far more importantly, if somebody has an airline issue, and I hear from people all the time from all over the country where the airline on a current or past problem is kind of acting like, you know, a pain in the butt, not doing what they should be doing, get a hold of me, and I'll certainly work with you to see if we can't hold the airlines accountable, because these days customer service is non-existent. It's extinct. And sometimes airlines don't do what they're supposed to do, and if I can help out, I'll certainly do it.
He's your aviation analyst, Jay Ratliff. Jay, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week.
Hey, you too. Thank you.